You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Coming up here in just a little bit, and lots of things to get to on the program. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union, and you can check them out online at dupaco.com. You can find out more by going to our website as well at kgymradio.com. Coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM, the KGYM radio stream, KGYM mobile app, and your smart speaker as well here on this Wednesday afternoon. And we've got baseball coming up later on. We've got at 6 o'clock for you the Twins taking on the Detroit Tigers on 107.5 FM, the Jim O.T. with the 6:40 first pitch. And we will join up with ESPN's coverage of Philadelphia and Atlanta, fighting it out for the final spot in the National League as far as playoff teams are concerned. And with the win tonight, the Atlanta Braves basically can punch their ticket. The Phillies, the only team remaining that can grab a possible playoff spot. And like I said, we'll have that game for you tonight, 1600 AM, 102.3 and 106.3 at 6 o'clock. But yeah, this thing is all but over in the National League, Mark.
Yeah, it is indeed. The West still needs to be decided, although both teams are in. Those teams being San Francisco and the LA Dodgers with 103 and 101 wins, respectively. Milwaukee has won the division, and St. Louis is in as a wild card. And you mentioned the Atlanta-Philadelphia situation. The Phillies 3.5 back of Atlanta. So Atlanta about a 98.8% chance of moving ahead.
We're hoping 98.9% chance of our computer coming back up. I've got to get an SOS here to Spencer. We'll see. I think give us a couple more minutes, and then we'll throw the white flag up in the air, and we'll bring in more people on this thing. But at any rate, we will bring you a quality show on the program here today as a Gym Class presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union rolls along here for the 3 o'clock hour. And as I mentioned, we'll talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com. A very special Bowling Night in America preview coming up. That's all I can say about it right now. A very special Bowling Night in America preview. So we'll have that coming up in just a little bit. Congratulations to those St. Louis Cardinals. Not only winning, number 17 in a row, but, of course, they are in the playoffs now. And the beat just continues for the Redbirds, doing things I did not think the Cardinals would be able to do this year, but certainly getting it done. And we'll talk more about that coming up in a little bit. Playoffs next week for you right here on KGYM. As soon as the Major League office comes up with the schedule, times, et cetera, we will we'll put out the games that we will have on the radio right here on KGYM. But Mark, the big story today involves your favorite National Football League team, the Chicago Bears, front and center, because the Bears have purchased Arlington Raceway in Arlington Heights, Illinois, and they are looking at possibly picking up stakes, building a new stadium, and moving out to the suburbs in the next handful of years anyway. There is a contract for the Bears and Soldier Field, which runs through 2033, I believe, but there is an out, I believe, in 2026, I read, as far as Soldier Field is concerned. Numerous questions for you and fellow Bear fans, and love to hear from you on the text line at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. If you want to call us up, Spencer will take your phone call as well. But big deal? Not a big deal? Do you want to see the Bears stay in Soldier Field? Are you stepping on tradition? Remember, the Bears used to play games at Wrigley Field. The Bears have played games at Old Comiskey Park in the past. They have not always been at Soldier Field. Is it going to be, hey, more parking, easier to get to situation? I don't know. What do you think as a Bear fan, Mark?
I'm indifferent at this point. We knew that the Bears had put in a bid to buy this Raceway, the whole property, not just the racetrack facility, but and that's owned by Churchill Downs Incorporated. The price tag apparently is just south of $197 million, and you equate the Bears with Soldier Field. The Bears moved there in 1971. Soldier Field opened in 1924, so it's going on 90 years old. I haven't been to Soldier Field in a few years. I don't know what the it certainly can't have the amenities that many of the modern ballparks have now. And you look around the National Football League, a great big percentage of them were built in the 90s and beyond. You've got Lambeau Field that's in Green Bay that's been there since 1957. And I think the Arrowhead Stadium is the third oldest, and that was in the 70s. But by and large, most of these stadiums in the NFL now have been built in the 90s and the 2000s and beyond. We'll see what happens. But we do have a poll question today at KGYMRadio.com related to this topic. Will the Bears actually leave the city of Chicago for Arlington Heights? Yes or no? And that poll question brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. Thank you to Steve Anderson and his team. There's a great deal of history at Soldier Field. There's no question about it. Much like Lambeau Field, I don't think the Green Bay Packer fans would ever want Lambeau Field to go by the wayside. Green Bay is not Chicago in terms of landmass and options to build a new stadium. But I don't think this is necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Mark. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. You got history you're dealing with, and it's tough to turn your back on history. Now, the Bears, I mean, Soldier Field, 50 years, the Bears have been playing there. It is the smallest NFL stadium as far as seating is concerned at just over 60,000. There is not room to expand. And to be blunt about it, I think that they, to me, Soldier Field left in 2004 when they did the renovation and turned it into some sort of a spaceship on steroids next to Lake Michigan. I mean, it does not look anything like old Soldier Field is concerned to me anyway. And again, I am not a Bears fan, but I've been to Soldier Field several times. They do have the columns still somewhere in there, in amongst the flying saucer levels. Soldier Field's not going to be knocked down or anything. It's not the first time a franchise has picked up stakes, moved from downtown to a suburb or suburb to downtown, whatever the case may be. I don't know. I don't have, you know, I'm not a Bears fan. I don't have a dog in the hunt as far as this is concerned. This is more of you, Mark, and your fellow Bear fans that we're hearing from in the text line, 319-366-1600. 6429, talk of a new stadium in the suburbs is an interesting distraction from the real issues of the team. Need to focus on a competent offensive scheme. 8683 says the outside walls at Soldier Field haven't changed. Still looks like the old stadium from the outside, just not from the inside. Not completely true, but to a certain extent, yes. Like I said, I don't think they did a great job with it as far as the renovation is concerned, but that's just my opinion. You brought this up when we talked about it earlier, Mark. 2523 commenting, would a new stadium equal a Super Bowl? And I think that's another tentacle of this that Bears fans have to take a look at. A Super Bowl is not coming to Soldier Field in Chicago. Could a Super Bowl come to a stadium in the suburbs, even though it is cold in February? It's a much larger percentage that could happen.
I think without question, and it would open up opportunities for, even though there's been concerts and other activities at Soldier Field, it would open up more opportunities to you know, do things aside from football. And I guess I'm I like the nostalgia. I always like the old stadiums. I'm not a Green Bay fan, but a fan by Lambeau Field, I think, is terrific. I'm not a Cub or a Red Sox fan, but to think of Wrigley Field or Fenway Park going away, it doesn't set well with me. But I understand we're in the 2020s right now, and maybe Soldier Field, after almost 80 years, 90 years, has outlived its usefulness.
319-366-1600. A lot of people more concerned about the offense than with the new stadium right now.
As they should be.
As far as the Bears going all the way to 81-86, 45 yards a week, it will take the Bears a while to get there. Oh, Mark, that hurt. That hurt.
Truth is reality, and I'm okay with that.
86-83 weighing in. The Bears need to worry about competing first before they worry about a Super Bowl possibly at home. That's not what we're getting at. I mean, Tampa played at home for the first time in a Super Bowl, and it took over, you know, half a century for that to happen. I mean, it's the Bears hosting a Super Bowl, not including the Chicago Bears playing in said Super Bowl. They would love to have the Bears in a Super Bowl hosted by the Chicago Bears, but, you know, the possibility of that is less than, you know, 2% or whatever the case may be, especially, I think, right now. But it's going to be a while. It's going to be at least 15 years before we're looking at this as a Super Bowl city. And you have to convince the National Football League to play a third Super Bowl in a cold weather February destination. Detroit never went back to the Silver Dome, even though it was a great game. New York, the NFL got extremely fortunate with everything that happened as far as the weather is concerned. It was a beautiful weather day for the Super Bowl in New York. A lot better a possibility the Big Apple having a nice day in February than Chicago having a nice day in February.
Well, and a lot of details to be worked out, or at least announced from what I've looked into, and what kind of stadium is it going to be? Is it going to have a retractable roof, which changes the landscape of things? Therefore, it wouldn't be a cold weather site. It would be maybe tough to travel to in February based on snowfall and whatnot. But a lot of details yet to be worked out in terms of when, what's going to be involved, so on and so forth.
Yeah, we don't know if it would be a dome. I don't think, though, it has not been talked about as of yet. 45-70. 57-31, I think, with the correct assumption here, and they may do something that, you know, who knows, that the Vikings did with U.S. Bank. I mean, it's a dome per se, but it does not look like a dome. 57-31. If you're going to build a new stadium, do it right. Put a retractable roof on, and you might have a Super Bowl.
I agree.
I would agree as well. Yes, Doug, as long as the Bears don't use the same sod company, move away. The infamous Chicago Parks Department sod at Soldier Field, Mark.
Thanks for that reminder, Doug.
319-366-1600. I will say this about Soldier Field and the sod. The problem is that it is basically at sea level. And nothing, I mean, from what I read and what I hear from people in the know, that it's hard to grow good grass that close to the lake to play on. So there you go. I'm not making excuses. I'm just giving you the official line from the Chicago Parks Department.
You did make excuses for the Bears. It reminds me, I might have to call my mom. She played accordion at Soldier Field in the 1950s. I'll have to ask her about that.
Accordion player in the 1950s at Soldier Field, your mother?
Yes, sir.
Why did we not hear about this before?
Because it was probably irrelevant, as it is now. And it didn't come up with any reference to Soldier Field, but It's a true story.
Spencer, mark that down. That's promo material right there. 33-49. Soldier Field is the worst big stadium I have been to.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's even with the renovation, it's still an older stadium. There's no doubt about it. I mean, compared to the renovations at Lambeau, compared to U.S. Bank, compared to Arrowhead, compared to Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Ford Field in Detroit, you just take a look at the Midwestern venues like that. Yeah, it's probably at the bottom. I don't think there's any doubt about that, even with the renovation. But if you're going to do it, you better do it right. And I agree with you, Mark. You better do a retractable dome. You better get all the amenities. Parking is going to be a lot better. That is the one problem with going to Soldier Field, is that you got to get there early or you're not going to be parking anywhere close. Same thing with U.S. Bank, by the way. Not saying that the Vikings are, you know, patented the parking process or anything like that. Going to Gopher games up there, oh my goodness, when they were playing at the Metrodome, which is, of course, the same footprint with U.S. Bank, but holy cow, that was bad. That was bad.
Well, you lay the old stadiums that we've talked about, Soldier Field, Lambeau Field, even Arrowhead Stadium, you lay those side by side with a place like Jerry World or the new place in Las Vegas or LA.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just not going to compare.
No.
Even though they still might be serviceable, they're not modern. And maybe that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's Arrowhead like?
Arrowhead's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I'm biased, but even the surveys that have been put out there as far as top NFL stadiums, Arrowhead is right up there. Now, it's not Jerry World, it's not SoFi, it's not Allegiant, but it is very, very nice and very serviceable, and they've done it the right way with the two renovations, and they're talking about another renovation coming up as far as Arrowhead Stadium is concerned, and or Gale Field now at Arrowhead Stadium. Got to get it right.
Well, that was a wonderful concept back in the day when Kauffman Stadium and Arrowhead Stadium went up side by side. And I've been to a lot of Royals games, yet to be to a Chiefs game, but that was a really interesting concept.
Did you know, okay, we now know that your mom played accordion at Soldier Field in the 1950s. Did you also know in the original conceptual drawings for Arrowhead and for Royal Stadium, now Kauffman Stadium, there was going to be a retractable roof over both that would actually roll? Did you know that?
I was unaware.
Yeah. And then they took a look at the price tag on that and said, no, for 1971, which was astronomical. Astronomical, indeed. 319-366-1600. We have fantasy football questions already starting to stack up. Chris Liss of rotowire.com is going to join us in about 8 or 9 minutes. So get your questions ready to go at 319-366-1600. And we'll take those in order for Chris. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. Go to our website at kgymradio.com and go ahead and vote in our poll question. Very interested to see the results of that question here today, brought to you by Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Also, we wanted to catch a little baseball here. We have 4 of the 5 National League teams. The Braves, basically, with a win tonight, can all but solidify things as far as the National League East is concerned. But the American League, Mark, the American League is still a red-hot mess right now. As far as playoff teams, we know that the Astros are in. We know that the White Sox are in. But, man alive, the wild card is going to be interesting. It is going to be very, very interesting over the weekend. And we may have an extra game or two. Who knows? There could be 2 games. We may have to move the American League wild card game back and see how it plays out.
Well, it's not out of the realm. The Yankees currently have a 2-game lead on Boston. Boston has only a 0.5-game lead on Seattle and only a 1-game lead on Toronto. I mean, Oakland's got an outside shot being 3.5 back, but very well could be at least one play-in games to that wild card matchup.
Spencer's watching me going back and forth to the room and just in awe. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And, I mean, Tampa is in. The White Sox are in. Houston technically not in as of yet. Seattle right in there, and the wild card, the Red Sox and the Yankees. Don't forget about the Blue Jays. They are not out of it so far. Boy, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun finish. And like I said, we could have a playoff to get into the playoffs, and haven't had that for a while anyway. I would not turn my back on that.
Right now, the odds for the AL wild card is the Yankees are 88.8%. The Red Sox, 60.8%. The Blue Jays at 27.5%. And the Mariners at 22.8%. The A's and Astros, minuscule.
Yeah, they're about minuscule right now. A's and Mariners, you mean?
The A's for sure. I shouldn't have thrown the Astros in there.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 here at 327. And baseball is going to get fun. And as I mentioned, next week we will have for you the playoffs getting underway. Just have to get all the schedules for Major League Baseball and make sure those are all put away before we can get those schedules out to you. But yeah, we'll see. It's going to be fun. I think obviously with the White Sox in, I have a pointed interest in this, but I think the baseball playoffs are fun anyway. Always watch them, and we'll do that again coming up in 2021. Hey, I wanted to bring this to your attention and just to see if other people caught this last night. There was the 20th anniversary of PTI last night. Did you happen to catch that on ESPN, Mark?
Did not.
Yeah, with Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon. And it was very interesting. Because it was 20 years ago next month that basically the world of not only sports talk radio, but sports talk television changed forever with PTI, because PTI was what was the first and the headliner as far as sports debate shows are concerned. They have their own genre now. I never thought it would have its own genre, but it is its own genre. And they had that last night, a retrospective of the 20 years. Tony Kornheiser is amazing. One of my favorite individuals in the entire world. He should have there should be a 24-hour Tony Kornheiser channel. And I would enjoy it. And I would listen to it, and I would watch it. His great line when he was first told and first met the staff that he was going to be working with, he got up in front of them, stood up, and said, "I hope that you rented and did not buy." As only Tony Kornheiser could do. And he said, "I thought we would be done in 3 weeks. And here we are 20 years into it, and it's still going strong." But you know what? That program does it right, because they do it in they don't always have to disagree with one another. They do it in a funny way, a comical way. They have experts on that they listen to and they do not correct. It is still the flagship as far as sports debate shows. If they were all that way, then we'd probably get tired of it. But now, of course, you've got 95% of them in the sports industry that, okay, before the day starts and they're run down with the producer, okay, co-host A, you're going to say, you're going to be on this side. Co-host B, you're going to be on this side. Make up something and away you go. That's basically the way it is now. That's not the way it is with PTI.
And what's interesting, both these guys came out of the print journalism newspaper business. Both having worked at the Washington Post, among other places. I think they were doing radio, maybe a little TV along before PTI came aboard. So they come from backgrounds where they almost daily express their opinions on sports and have just taken it to TV and been terribly successful. 20 years is a long time in that business.
Their former editor was interviewed, and he was amazing. You talk about a guy giving one-liners and just flat. He was perfect. And he said they from the time they both got to the Washington Post, they were having a PTI show across the hall at one another every day, and it would drive everybody in the sports department crazy because they were on deadline, and here's Kornheiser and Wilbon arguing with one another. They didn't care. They just wanted to be right, but at the end, they loved the other guy, and that's how, and they said that those were the two guys that needed to be on this show, and it was very interesting. If you get a chance to catch it, please do so. There you go. 319-366-1600 at 331. We need to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They are located across from Lindale Mall at First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right behind the Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. And what's on the Emil's scoreboard today?
Major League scoreboard, only one game in progress, or at least it was. Washington is at Colorado, now delayed in the third inning. By rain, Colorado up 4-3. Everything else going on later, including that Twins game against Detroit on 107.5, the Jim O.T. at 6 p.m. It has been announced that the Iowa State men's basketball game, December 9th, at Hilton Coliseum will be an 8 o'clock tip-off and be shown on ESPN2. And I'm quite sure being heard right here on KGYM. Zach Johnson is back on the course tomorrow for the Sanderson Farms tournament in Mississippi. He will begin his first round at 7:49 a.m. with Cameron Davis and Martin Laird. Good luck to Zach.
By the way, December 9th is a Thursday this year. Kudos to Iowa and Iowa State for, because that over the last handful of years has been a Friday night basketball game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, great. Good news that it's on a Thursday. All right, 3:33. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to check in with Chrysalis of RotoWire.com. Get your questions in. Several of them already here. 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. We'll come back, talk with Chris after this.
After 20 years on the same sideline, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick meet this weekend as opponents. It's the GOAT QB against the GOAT head coach. And you can be a part of this epic showdown with unbelievable odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can win $125 on a $5 bet if either team scores a touchdown. That's right, 25-1 odds on any touchdown anytime during the Tampa-New England game. Offers like this are just one of many reasons FanDuel is America's number one sports book. They feature an easy to use as well as safe and secure app. Also fast payouts. You get paid in as little as 24 hours when you win. Sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook app today using promo code COON and make your first bet one for the history books. Don't forget to use promo code KUHN so they know I sent you. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $125. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why WeatherShield windows are only sold at local trusted independent dealers, not at big box stores. WeatherShield never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship. Alexander Lumber is proud to be a WeatherShield dealer. Visit them at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Blue is freedom. Blue is endless possibilities. Blue is trustworthy.
Attaboy.
Blue is caring.
We got this.
And now, Blue is Medicare Advantage from Wellmark Advantage Health Plan. All-in-one coverage, extra benefits, and the confidence of being covered by Wellmark. Because Blue is always here for you. Learn more at wellmarkadvantage.com.
We are back. It is the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Baseball coming up a little bit later on. Tomorrow night, the Thursday night NFL game comes your way, as you heard during that break. Sunday night, we've got the Patriots and the Buccaneers, the going home game for Tom Brady. So that should be interesting. For the weekend. Get your questions ready to go for Chris Liss at rotowire.com. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. 319-366-1600. That is a phone line as well. If you would like to pick up the phone and give Chris a call. And good afternoon or good evening, Chris, whatever the case may be in Portugal. But, it 0-3. I don't know who feels worse. Your Giants at 0-3 or my Chiefs at 1-2 and can't stop anybody.
It's way worse for you. Like, I didn't expect much. You know, I mean, the Chiefs, you thought were going to be good. And, you know, that Super Bowl hangover is real. I mean, every year, the team that loses the Super Bowl really struggles. Last year, the Niners didn't even make the playoffs. The year before, I can't remember who it was, but the Rams didn't make the playoffs, I think, after losing to the Patriots. So that hangover, I think, is real. I think it's hard for these teams to get that close and play that long into February to kind of rebuild themselves, and you see it happen to the Chiefs.
Chris, I'm sure the Ravens-Lions game took a couple of years off your life. You had Baltimore in the survivor pool, a survivor pool. How much do you love Justin Tucker?
I always love that guy, though. I mean, he's better. He's the best of all time in his position by a larger margin than any player is at their positions. He's better, you know, Jerry Rice, you could be like, well, what about Randy Moss? Or what about, you know, Calvin Johnson? But with Tucker, there's no even number two that you can think of that's close. And what a kick. I mean, what a great, it's 4th and 19, just even converting that play. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but they tried to like advance it a few yards with 7 seconds left. They threw it out of bounds, but the play clock expired by like 2 seconds.
Yes.
And they snapped it. If they get a 5-yard penalty, there's no way they're making that field goal. So, I was skin of my teeth. But, you know, sometimes, yeah, I don't know if you guys ever watch the NCAA tournament, but, like, there'll be that, like, one seed or the two seed that gets, like, taken to overtime by the, you know, the 15, and they barely win, and then they win the tournament. So that's how I'm going to do it.
NFL officiating. We can talk about that for an hour, but let's get to the questions.
What a kick, though. What an incredible kick.
It was an incredible kick, but only the Detroit Lions could not get a penalty called that should have been a penalty twice, and then a kick, an NFL record kick that hits the crossbar and goes over. If there is nothing more Detroit Lion than that, you are never going to find it.
And they sacked him twice. You know, they had a minute left, no time, and they sacked Lamar twice. They almost sacked him a third time, and then a fourth down. It's just incredible. I was done. I was like, okay, I guess I lost my entry. I lost this, you know?
Yeah. 62-75, Chris. Standard scoring, Amari Cooper or Ja'Marr Chase, and Mike Davis or Tony Pollard?
Oh, I guess I'll go – I guess I'll go Cooper, but I mean, it's, you know, Chase is in a good spot. It might be a Joe Mixon night. And then Tony Pollard or who?
Mike Davis, it says.
Give me Mike Davis, but it's close.
48-15 is in a 12-player standard league, Chris, and needs two of these at running back. Madison, McKissick, Cordell Patterson or James Robinson?
I go James Robinson, and if Cook is out, definitely Madison. If Cook is back, I'd probably go Cordell Patterson.
83-69 with a question for Chris. Half-point PPR league, Hurts or Cousins at quarterback, and one flex between Tyson Williams, Gordon Ayuk, and Emmanuel Sanders.
And both Hurts and Cousins are very good options. 50-50, you pick. They're both very good. I'll say Cousins is safer. Hurts has more upside. And what was the second one?
Second one would be flex between Tyson Williams, Gordon Ayuk, and Emmanuel Sanders.
I would go Brandon Ayuk against
Ayuk.
The against the Seahawks.
85-93 needs to start two of the following three, Chris. Diggs, Lockett, or Mike Williams in a PPR league. I've had Williams on the bench so far this year, and last week it cost me.
Yeah, but, I mean, Lockett and Diggs, is, I mean.
That's a riches right there.
I guess I'll go Lockett and Diggs again, but Mike Williams is right there. I mean, they're all, again, just pick two. If you want to just put the three in the hat and pick two out of the hat because they're all right there.
Chargers not playing the Chiefs this week, by the way.
Yeah, but they get the Raiders, you know, so that's not too bad either.
79-66 here at 341. Need two from each position in a non-PPR. Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Javonte Williams at running back. At wideout.
Taylor and Barkley, but just keep an eye on Taylor because he missed practice today.
By the way, welcome to Saquon Barkley to scoring this past week. That was good to see.
Yeah, it was nice. I think Barkley's back. You know, I think Barkley's he's healthy. Just need Jonathan Taylor to get some blocking. Okay, what's the next one?
True. At wide receiver, need two in a non-PPR. Keenan Allen, CeeDee Lamb, Odell Beckham, or Deebo Samuel?
Oof. I'm going to say Keenan Allen and CeeDee Lamb.
81-42 is in a half-point PPR flex. And I need a flex. Chris Cooks or Chase?
Wasn't that a country show?
I'm going to go Chase over Cooks, but it's pretty close.
It is. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com joining us. Get your fantasy football questions in at 319-366-1600. His appearance brought to you by Imon Communications. 36.95 in a non-PPR league, Zach Moss or Henry Ruggs? Thank you.
I think I will go Zach Moss with this particular matchup.
Tony and Anamosa, two-parter, Herbert or Mayfield?
Not playing the Chiefs.
And Arizona or Washington defense?
Mayfield's got a good matchup this week, but I'll go Herbert. And Arizona or Washington, I will go with Washington against Atlanta.
All righty, 66-82. Claypool or Devontae Smith, replacing A.J. Brown in a standard league?
Yeah, make sure A.J. Brown's out. He didn't practice today, but he's not definitely out. He probably is. I would take Claypool if he's healthy, but he got banged up last week too, slightly.
John in Columbus Junction, be careful. He's a 49er fan, Chris. Tom Brady or Jimmy Garoppolo in a standard league?
It's actually close given their matchups, but I got to go Brady coming back to New England.
Oh, yeah. You don't think he wants to throw for 8 touchdowns?
This is the most interesting narrative game I've ever seen. Like, it's literally in the history of the NFL, I don't think there's been a game with, like, a more intriguing narrative.
What is the latest on Gronk, by the way?
It says he'll play. I mean, you know, he looked a little compromised after he came back into the game, but it said he'll play.
There is no way Gronkowski is missing that game.
I would think Brady wants to win like 56-0, you know, and just like torch the stadium on the way out. But and I think a lot of the fans will be cheering for him. But Belichick, I don't know if that team is really good enough to, you know, as crafty as Belichick is, I don't know what he's going to do about it.
84-62 in a 10-team, two-quarterback league. Needs to start two of these. Matt Ryan, Big Ben, Derek Carr, or Tyler Heineke?
I would go definitely Carr. And then the question is whether it's Heineke, Ben, or all those guys are scrubs, or Matt Ryan. I will say Heineke on a hunch, but I don't love any of those guys.
Chris, one of the entries in your week three blog raised my eyebrows at it. I'm not saying I disagree, but you described Aaron Jones of the Packers as a top five running back. Why?
Because I thought that he was going to split more with Dylan. I mean, he's the second-round pick on Dylan. Dylan's like built like Derrick Henry. I was like, oh, there'll be the thunder and lightning, the Kamara and Ingram, you know, But the first three games, it's really Aaron Jones is the starter and Dylan's just the backup. And then if you're the starter who catches all the passes and gets all the goal line on a good offense and you're a good player, and Aaron Jones is a good player, that's top five. I mean, maybe he's top three. I mean, I might take Derrick Henry over him, and I might take someone like Kamara over him, but I think the third back might be Aaron Jones.
Mm. True. Yeah, running backs are so tough to nail down from a week to week. I mean, we talked about Saquon Barkley finally getting some points, fantasy points, if you will. Clyde Edwards-Helaire finally got untracked a little bit. That touch.
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt was terrific for Cleveland. Sorry, Mark.
that
happened. But
yeah, so I'll give you my top five backs rest of the season right now are Henry, Kamara, Jones, Dalvin Cook, but he's got an ankle problem. Barkley, and then I've got like Chubb, Mixon, Zeke, Jonathan Taylor. I got to move Eckler up. Eckler was too low. Eckler and McCaffrey. McCaffrey, we don't know again when he's going to come back, but. It's changed quite a bit from when we were drafting.
It's gotta hurt you too to see. I mean, the Cowboys are good, man.
I know their defense. They drafted some young guys who were just killing it, and I thought the defense was going to be bad. That was what I was counting with the Cowboys. And if their defense is good, it's going to be a good team.
There's no way they're not winning the NFC East, is there?
A lot can happen, but Dak got hurt last year, but. No, barring something like that, the teams in the NFC aren't very good. I thought the Eagles were better. They just lost two offensive linemen. The football team just looks terrible. Giants should have beat them. Giants are terrible. Yeah, the Cowboys are a massive favorite.
0-3-3-3 on the text line, Chris. Is the Bears defense worth keeping after this week?
No, I don't. I mean, they could end up being okay, but I don't hold defenses unless it's like Rams, Tampa Bay, the top couple.
46-88, Chris. In a PPR league, wondering if they should stick with Galladay or pick up Patrick, Nelson Agholor, or Hunter Renfro on waivers.
I'd probably stick with Galladay, but Patrick is interesting in the short term, but I'd probably stick with Galladay.
Chris, you were in the same corner with Scott and myself in terms of the NFL pass interference penalty. I think it's atrocious. You're down three with 30 seconds left. You can throw a 50-yard pass, and it's a 50-yard penalty. Why doesn't this get changed?
Yeah, I mean, it's really ridiculous. Like, there should be degrees, like roughing the kicker and, running into the kicker. And running into the kicker was 5 yards, and roughing was 15. And they used to have it with face masks, too. And I think it should be the same thing because sometimes it'll be, okay, fine, the guy was a teeny bit early and there was some hand fighting, but the receiver still got his hands on the ball and he dropped it. Okay, pass interference, ball's a 1 yard line, game over. That should be a 10-yard penalty. Whereas if the guy's, looking up at the ball and the guy totally wipes him out before he has a chance, okay, that's spot foul. And I understand there could be problems with that, like the refs are just always calling the 10-yard one because they don't want to make a tough decision. But it's just way too punitive. I think we should eliminate a lot of these calls like this, illegals or, holding calls that don't affect the play on the other side. And I don't know. There's something that's, you really want to see it decided on the field on merit, right? You don't like the ref. You don't want it to be a ref show where that's, who wins and loses is because of the ref. So I don't know. It's a hard thing. It's a hard problem, but the solution they have, I don't think is the best one. I'll just say that.
They don't call penalties across the field anyway in a hold.
Yeah, but you'll sometimes see like an illegal shift or some just junk. Ineligible man downfield or somebody moved or they didn't have enough guys on the line of scrimmage. I get there's reasons for that stuff, but like it wipes out a beautiful touchdown pass. It just seems like this is a little crazy,
True.
If you just give an electric shock to the coach when there's a penalty, then that would be the deterrent.
Oh, boy.
85-93 on the text line, Chris. Panthers defense against Dallas or Patriots defense against Tampa?
You got to go with the Panthers. I mean, the Tampa's one of the best. I mean, Dallas offense is good, too, but I do go with the Panthers.
Yeah, Carolina's off to an unbeaten start. They have not played the toughest schedule in the world, though. That's going to be a very interesting game.
The Saints was a good win. That was a good win against the Saints.
It was.
I will say that Darnold, to me, looks a little herky-jerky. Lamar Jackson, I watched him on that whole game. He looked very poised. Darnold looked a little herky-jerky to me. I think Darnold's the kind of guy that can make any throw, mobile, but against a good defense, it's going to be a good test against Dallas. I think he's going to make the mistake.
All right.
How about going towards the weekend, Chris, players to keep an eye on from an injury standpoint and perhaps consult rotowire.com?
Yeah, Elijah Mitchell's one. He's supposed to be limited today. He could be the Niners' starting running back, which is a great place to be. He's very fast. A.J. Brown is kind of week-to-week with his hamstring problem. Julio Jones has a leg injury of some kind. He's banged up. Jonathan Taylor has a knee injury. Looks kind of minor. But there's a lot of injured guys now. You know, Deontay Johnson's coming back from the knee, but he missed the game. So, yeah, rotowire.com/trial. Free 10 days. You don't need a credit card. You can get all the injury stuff, all the minor stuff, all your questions answered. And it's totally free. You don't even take your payment information until 10 days. You get to decide whether you want to pay for it or not. rotowire.com/trial.
All right. We'll go for 3-1 this week, Chris. So we'll talk to you next week.
Good, Scott.
Thanks for the information. A+. I'm up to A+, Mark. Did you hear that?
No, I did hear that. Yeah. I marked it
down. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah. Chris, we're going for that. All right.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us here each Wednesday. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications, official sponsor of all things fantasy sports here on KGYM. We'll take a break, come back. We will have a Bowling Night in America, a very special Bowling Night in America preview for you coming up.
Lots of places are hiring now, but Midwest Metal Products is where you want to be. Family owned for over 55 years, they have second and third shift production openings, painters and powder coaters, as well as several other positions. Great starting wage, great benefits, including profit sharing, an air-conditioned shop, and on-the-job training. Non-tobacco users only. Drug screen and physical required. Equal opportunity employer. Apply online at MidwestMetalProducts.biz.
From the gridiron to the nine iron, experience the thrill of the game anywhere in Iowa with Elite Sportsbook. You can now sign up for Elite Sportsbook on your phone anywhere in Iowa and receive your first bet risk-free up to $500. Just visit EliteSportsbook.com to create an account and your first bet is on us up to $500. It's time to play your game with Elite Sportsbook. For a limited time only, valid only in Iowa. Must be 21. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. It is 3:54, back with you to wrap things up here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Baseball coming up later on, as we got a pair of games coming your way at 6 o'clock for you here on KGYM. Philadelphia and Atlanta on 1600, 102.3 FM and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Jim OT, 107.5 FM, Twins baseball tonight, the Twins and the Detroit Tigers. But it is Wednesday, Mark. That means one thing. It is Bowling Night in America. And this Bowling Night in America preview is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Hats off to Tom and the entire staff for chipping in and helping us out with Bowling Night in America. You've got Ollie Frazier, Red Sox Yankees, Packers Bears, Chiefs Raiders, Celtics Lakers, but they all, as you know, Mark, pale in comparison to what is coming up tonight. It is back after a one-year absence. It is, quite simply, the Rusty Nails and the Pin Pals tonight for the jacket.
Well, you can throw Cole Cornell and Jeff Wash and Solon Mount Vernon in there as well. It's right there with them all. The Rusty Nails and the Pin Pals going at it for the Schmedium May City Bowl jacket.
Satin jacket.
A traveling piece of pride, shall we say, for the team that wins tonight and going forward. I expect you boys to get it back.
Have to win 16 of the 30 tonight to get it back. 15-15 is a push, and that keeps it with the Pin Pals. I told the Whittles last week, I hope that the jacket has been cleaned, maintained, taken care of, and ready to go for a possible exchange tonight.
Possible.
You don't want to tempt the bowling gods. And I will not tempt the bowling gods.
Because we would hear from those boys on the text line tomorrow should it not happen. But that's the matchup tonight. Rusty Nails and Pin Pals. The Nails sitting in fifth place, I believe. Is that right, Scott?
Correct. Fifth place in the Evergreen League.
In the adult Evergreen League, you should say.
Correct.
But at any rate, a lot of good times again tonight. And you can have good times as well. Open bowling, maybe a birthday party out there in May City. They do a great job at all the above. Great pro shop as well with Andy Dirks operating that. If you have any questions about open bowling or said birthday parties, give them a call, 362-0136. More information at the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
Complete report coming up tomorrow. We'll also talk Maryland football coming up tomorrow. And get ready for Iowa and Maryland coming up on Friday. More on that. Get ready for Thursday night football as well. Turn back the clock right now, Mark. 30 years ago today, one of the red letter days, I believe, as far as golf is concerned, was 30 years ago today that the war on the shore culminated. The 1991 Ryder Cup at Kiawah Island in South Carolina, which one of the more contentious 3 days of golf ever. If you thought this one was back and forth, this had nothing compared to the war on the shore at Kiawah. But that's what kind of got the Ryder Cup back on the map and a lot of the fan interaction back, especially when Bernhard Langer missed a six-footer and allowed the Americans to get the cup back, despite Mark Calcavecchia playing like a 20 handicap in the last five holes.
A lot of great memories in the Ryder Cup over the years, and including last weekend. Yeah, that war on the shore was a dandy.
It was. All right, Mark, we will talk with you throughout the night tonight with updates, and we will talk tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Looking forward to it, and we'll talk some Iowa, Maryland coming up, and look ahead to the football weekend on the Thursday edition of the show.
Good luck and good bowling. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you for listening. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM from 4 until 6. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Recruiting is what separates you from the rest of the field. It's true in college football and even truer in business. LinkedIn Jobs is here to help your small